Father, I thank you. I thank you so much for your word. And I thank you for the beautiful words that have been put to music down through the generations. For thousands of years, people have been singing your praise. And we will continue to sing your praise until you return. Lord, I pray that as we open your holy word in these moments, that your word would speak clearly to our hearts, that we would see ourselves in the text as you interact with not only the disciples 2,000 years ago, but the disciples today in this place. May your will be done in our hearts as it is in heaven. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, last Sunday, we started the final chapter of John's Gospel, where the story shifted away from Jerusalem and it moved north to the shores of the Sea of Galilee. We read about Jesus calling out from the shore to his disciples early in the morning after they had spent the entire night fishing, only to end up with empty nets. We read about their obedience to his command to throw the nets on the right side of the boat, and wouldn't you know it, when they obeyed the Lord, they were unable to haul in the net because of the 153 large fish that miraculously filled the net. We read about how Jesus shared those fish that he provided for them and how he served breakfast he had prepared for them. And John wrote that this was the third time Jesus had appeared to the disciples after he had been raised from the dead. So if you have a Bible, I would encourage you to open it to John chapter 21. Today we're going to read verses 15 through 24, which will tell the story of how Jesus restored his disciple and friend, Peter. Starting there in verse 15, John wrote this. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" I'm just going to stop right there. Before we read Peter's response, I want you to remember a bit of the backstory of Peter that makes this question of Jesus so important. If you trace the story of Peter's life as recorded in the four Gospels, you'll find that he was originally a disciple of John the Baptist. And after Jesus changed his name from Simon to Peter, Peter was the first one to whom Jesus commanded, "Come, follow me, and I will make you a fisher of men." Peter was the most prominent of the 12 disciples, always listed first among them. Peter's boldness resulted in momentarily walking out on the water after Jesus invited him out of the boat. And he was one of the three disciples invited to witness the transfiguration of Christ there on the mountain. He was the first of the disciples to recognize Jesus as Messiah, and Peter had a front row seat for most of the miracles that Jesus performed during his three-year ministry. "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" Wasn't it obvious to Jesus that Peter loved him? Of course it was. But something had happened between Peter and Jesus that needed to be resolved. A little something that happened on the night that Jesus was betrayed, right before the rooster crowed. And if you recall, that particular night started with all of the disciples gathered together in the upper room, celebrating the Passover meal with Jesus. The master then stooped to wash their feet. And sometime during the course of that memorable evening, Matthew's gospel records that Jesus said this to his disciples: "This very night, you will all fall away on account of me." Then Peter said, "Even if all fall away on account of you, I never will." Jesus answered, "Truly, I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." But Peter declared, "Even if I have to die with you, I will never disown you." And then only a few hours after Peter had made this public declaration in the presence of his friends, this prideful disciple would even deny knowing Jesus three times. And at that moment, a rooster began to crow. So even though it was obvious to Jesus that Peter loved him, in asking him this question around a fire with his friends, Jesus gave Peter an opportunity for public restoration. And since Peter had denied the Lord three times, can you guess how many times the Lord is going to ask Peter this particular question? So with that backstory in mind, let's read verses 15 through 17. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said. "You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time, Jesus said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." This is a fascinating conversation. I find it interesting the way that Jesus addressed Peter. He said to him, "Simon, son of John." The only other time in the Gospels that this phrase was used was way back in John chapter 1, the very first time that Jesus and Peter had ever met. During that initial interaction, Jesus changed Peter's name when he said to him, "You are Simon, son of John. You will be called Peter." And now on the beach, Jesus used a phrase that he hadn't mentioned since the beginning of their relationship. And in a way, I think it reminded Peter that they were in the process of starting again, but with a new understanding of who Jesus was and is. So three times, Peter had previously denied Jesus, and now three times, Peter professed his love for Jesus. And even though his confession to Christ was painful, it was a conversation that needed to happen so that the Lord could convey his specific instructions for how Peter's love for Christ was to be displayed going forward. Jesus told Peter to feed his lambs. He told him to take care of his sheep. He told Peter to feed his sheep. At the beginning of their relationship, Jesus had called Peter the fisherman for the purpose of fishing for people. And now Jesus was calling Peter to embrace the role of a shepherd, feeding and caring for the flock, the people of God, both young and old. This was the specific expression of love Jesus was requesting Peter to live out, as he would soon become one of the leaders of the early church. If someone you loved, a friend or a family member or a spouse, were to ask you three times in a row, "Do you love me?" How do you think you'd respond? I believe it would cause you to pause and ponder, to reflect on your relationship with that person. I can tell you, if my wife Megan ask me that question three times, she would have my undivided attention, because I would immediately be wondering, why in the world are you asking me this? Do you love me? Yes, you know that I love you. Do you love me? Yes, you know that I love you. Do you love me? Megan, you know all things. You know that I love you. Now, don't quote me on that. She does know a lot, but not all things. Those questions would be really hard. a really hard conversation, and it would cause me to pay really close attention to whatever she was going to say next. And before we move on to the next part of this particular conversation between Jesus and Peter, I wonder if the Holy Spirit might be asking us as a church a couple of key questions this morning, with the first question being this: do I love him? Do you love Jesus? At first blush, those of you who are believers in the room this morning will immediately want to answer, yes, you know that I love Jesus. But if the Spirit were to ask you that question twice more, how would you respond? Would you pause and reflect? And as we consider this question, it's important to understand that the Lord has not called all of us to pastoral ministry. He's not asking everyone in his church to express their love for Christ by feeding his lambs, taking care of his sheep, and feeding his sheep. Those tasks are specific for those whom he has called to shepherd the flock, especially elders and pastors. However, if you can answer yes to this particular question, if you say you love Jesus, then you must trust and obey his command to love and care for one another, just as a shepherd loves and cares for his lambs and his sheep. Jesus said, "A new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." So you may not have the same level of responsibility that Peter had for shepherding the early church. But for whom has Jesus called you to love and to feed and to provide care? Certainly, you don't live alone on an island. You live in a community that is desperate for the love of God that only a disciple of Jesus can give. And you're part of a body that functions at its best when you use the gifts of love that God has given you. Do you love him? Do you love him? Do you love Jesus? If the answer is yes, then show it through the way that you love his people. By this, everyone will know that you're his disciples, if you love one another. So now that Jesus had Peter's full attention, the Lord revealed a rare glimpse into Peter's future. And if you pick it back up at verse 18, Jesus said to Peter, "Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and you went where you wanted. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go." Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. Then he said to him, "Follow me." The New Testament does not reveal how Peter died, but the early church fathers recorded that he was crucified upside down in Rome. That information is extra-biblical, which means it's not inspired. But it could be what Jesus was referring to when he said that someone else would stretch out Peter's hands. Either way, Peter realized Jesus was referring to a time in the future in which Peter would be faced with a path that would be difficult to walk. A road that would test his faith in Christ. An opportunity in which Peter would once again have to stake his life on the truth that Jesus is the way. And then Jesus said two powerful words to the disciple who clearly loved him. Jesus said, "Follow me." Here we are at the end of John's gospel, and if you look back over the entire story, who is the one man who has been following Jesus since chapter 1? It's Peter. And yet the Savior is inviting him again to go back to the basics of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. Disciples are only disciples if you are following a master, if you're following in the footsteps of the teacher. Jesus warned Peter of the hard days that were ahead, days in which Peter would need to remember the simple, clear command of Jesus, follow me. All the way to the end, follow me. Even though Peter already knew his Lord was the way, the truth, and the life, he had to be reminded that the safest path forward was in the footsteps of Jesus. And after Peter restored and instructed Peter, there's one final lesson that the Lord wanted him to hear. It starts there in verse 20. John wrote this, Peter turned and saw that the disciple whom Jesus loved was following them. This was the one who had leaned back against Jesus at the supper and had said, Lord, who is going to betray you? When Peter saw him, he asked, Lord, what about him? Jesus answered, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. Because of this, the rumor spread among the believers that this disciple would not die. But Jesus did not say that he would not die. He only said, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? This is the disciple who testifies to these things and wrote them down. We know that his testimony is true. We should be very glad that John's gospel didn't end at chapter 20. Because if you linger long enough in these verses, you'll see yourself walking there on the beach with Jesus, and you'll hear yourself uttering the same words that Peter did. Lord, what about him? What about her? This wasn't the first time that Peter had taken his eyes off of Jesus. If you look back at Matthew's gospel, he included details of the time when Jesus walked out on the waves of the Sea of Galilee to the disciples who were out there in a boat. They were terrified and they thought it was a ghost, but Jesus called out to them, take courage, it is I, don't be afraid. And at that point, Peter spoke up and said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. And Jesus said, come. Stop and think about the faith that Peter exhibited in that particular moment. Consider the trust the disciple displayed as he stepped down out of the boat and stepped onto the water toward Jesus. That was an amazing moment. Not only for the fact that Jesus was walking on the water, but now Peter was too. We don't know how many steps Peter took, but the scripture says that when Peter saw the wind, he was afraid and he began to sink and he cried out, Lord, save me. And why did he sink? Because he took his eyes off of Jesus and fixed them instead on the storm that was swirling around him. He sank because his faith moved him from the Messiah to the moment, seeing his circumstances rather than seeing the Savior. And once again, here on the beach of the same Sea of Galilee, after Jesus has lovingly restored and gently instructed him, reminding him of the way forward, Peter's eyes get distracted by his friend John, who was following them. Peter wanted to know what was going to happen in John's future. Peter was curious about the way that John would walk. Maybe he wanted to compare the paths that Jesus had prepared for them. All of which prompted Peter to ask, Lord, what about him? When John is old, is someone going to stretch out his hands and lead him where he does not want to go as well? And how did Jesus answer? Jesus said, what is that to you? You must follow me. Or in other words, Peter, what I do with John is between John and me. The only business you need to be concerned about is your own, and I've already told you what business that is to be. You are to follow me. Which brings us to the second key question this passage creates for us to consider this morning. The question is this, will I follow him? Will I follow him? Will you follow Jesus? If you love Jesus, and are you willing to follow him wherever the path may go? Even if the road appears to be headed toward the valley of the shadow of death, Will you trust Jesus to guide you through the storm and the pain and the suffering and the heartache? Will you follow Jesus through the fog when the answers are not clear? When it seems that as if everyone has turned against you or left you behind? Are you willing to follow Jesus even then? Or as in Peter and John's case, are you willing to follow and trust Jesus even when your friend's path seems like it's going to be easier than your own? When it seems like the Lord is leading and blessing other disciples, but all you can hear is silence. When all you have to show for your night of fishing is empty nets. When you take your eyes off of the one you're following, you can quickly become tempted to compare your life to others. And comparison is a very dangerous game. A game in which the results are often poisonous for your own soul. Comparison is a game the devil's been using to wreak havoc on humans since the very beginning. Comparison of your blessings to someone else's often sparks jealousy, causing you to want what others have. Ask Cain and Abel about it. That didn't turn out so great for either one of them, as Cain's jealousy of his brother's offering to God resulted in the murder of Abel. When you compare your life to someone else's, it can also spark fear, causing you to believe the lie that what God has given you is not good enough. Maybe God doesn't love me as much. Just ask the Israelite spies about it. They were afraid of the size of the warriors that lived in the land that God had promised to them. And as a result of their fear, they wandered for another 40 years in the desert. Comparison can also be a spark for deadly pride, causing you to believe that what you've got is so much better than what everybody else has. Just ask Goliath about that. When he compared his size and his strength to that of the boy David, Goliath assumed victory was sure. And as a result of his pride, Goliath failed to see that he was fighting against the Lord Almighty, maker of smooth stones for slingshots. Comparison is a really deadly game. And as disciples of Jesus, we would do well to avoid it at all costs. And instead, keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the only one who is worth following. The best way to battle against this is to remind yourself of what Jesus said to Peter. What is that to you? Instead, are you willing to follow Jesus to lead you in paths of righteousness for His name's sake? Once we figure out that this life is not about our glory, but instead all about God's glory, we can rest in His sovereign plan to work everything out that we're experiencing for His good pleasure and His ultimate glory. And as believers, we all know the road ahead will be hard. We can be sure that in the future we will face difficulties. And as disciples, if we're following Christ, there will be persecution and temptation. Because the Pied Piper of this world is doing everything he can to lead the sheep astray. To truly follow Christ means that you do not follow anyone else. To truly follow Christ means that you make Jesus the leader of your life for all areas of your life. And so the question is, whose lead are you following? If you have ears to hear the simple, clear command of Jesus as he calls out again, follow me. How would you respond if Jesus asked you, do you love me? For some of us, I think it would catch us off guard. How would you respond if Jesus said to you, follow me? For some of us, I think that question would catch us off guard. You're talking to me, Jesus? Of course I love you. I'm already following you. Little did Peter know what was around the corner if he would trust and obey. May we be a people who trust and obey. A holy people who will answer his call with willing hearts, with ears that are ready to hear and eyes that are fixed on Jesus. May we be a church whose hands are open and ready to serve, whose feet are fitted with the gospel of peace, and ready to go to the hard places to which he has called us, following his lead and his will for our lives. May we take up the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. May we be faithful sons and daughters of the Lord of Lords, disciples who are living a life of love. For by this, everyone will know that you are his disciples. Disciples of the one true King, if you love one another. To God be all the glory. Jesus is more than worthy. Amen.